He goes out here, you can't, you do that. And I'm telling you, back in the day when we had Semenko and these guys, they took care of that stuff. Piqué is a good player. I mean, he's no Bobby Orr. He's a good player.
Welcome into another episode of the Puckologists here on Fieldtown USA Show 29. I'm your host, AJ Strong. And as always, checking in from the 408 is the one and only, the man, the plan, Mr. Hockey Jerk.
It's funny, you say the man with the plan, but I had no plan for this intro until you said the plan, so thank you.
There you go. And checking in from a place a long way away from the 408. Rocket Backhander.
615.
We got to around the horn early this week.
Oh, no. That's my horn. That's the 615 honk, because everybody tries to make an illegal left-hand turn and turns every damn street around here into a cesspool of traffic. But I digress. Hi, Sharks fans.
Well, since we last left you, the Sharks now currently sit in sixth in their division, just like last week. Record of 4-4-0, good for 8 points, but only 3 points out of the top 3-4 spots with a game in hand that are currently held by Vancouver and Calgary. Sharks have won 3 of their last 4, though, while the Desert Dogs still winless after 3 weeks. And this division continuing to look nothing like predicted, although there were many people that thought Arizona would suck, with the exception of Hockey Jerk. So the Sharks have played 3 games since we last left you. They picked up a 3-0 win at New Jersey. They got hung with an L 5-3 on the island, but they came back at Madison Square Garden for a 4-1 win. And if you remember, if you rewind back to just a week ago, Hockey Jerk did predict that that would be a 4-0 win. So he gets half a gold star this week.
Yes.
So let's dive into that Devils game. This is a good one, man. Carlson gets promoted and ends up getting his first goal. Donskoy also gets his first goal. And this one was funny because this game kind of went like the Islanders game last week, where the Sharks pretty much led all the stats. But this time, though, they got a victory. How about that? 5-for-5 on the PK, but 0-for-5 on the power play. Hockey Jerk, it was such a good game. Let's just bring everybody down.
So, for starters, I mean, really, only 3-0. You couldn't make it 4-0 or 5-0. Quitters.
What are you trying to say about Kincaid?
He's bad and he should feel bad. Trademark pending. I mean, 0-for-5 on the power play, not okay at all. I mean, the listeners know that I generally have a long leash when it comes to special teams kind of getting it together, but at the same time, 0-for-5 is bad and it should feel bad. You know, you want the Sharks to at least score once out of 5 hits, but on the bright side of it all, they got the 3-0 win, which at the end of the day is important. And I think this game is important in general, just because at the time, I would argue that it was the best game the Sharks played all season. You couple that with the fact that the Devils, I believe at this point in time as well, were leading the Metropolitan Division, which, to the surprise of everybody. So that's a good statement game to make, you know, right off the bat. And I think this game, along with the Montreal game the previous week, I think it was the beginning of the Sharks kind of reeling things back in and getting things put back together.
Yeah, I enjoyed this one. I mean, you see Braun pick up a couple apples. We got Tim Heed picking up his apple. Good trending upward for the lower guys on the defensive side of that puck, Rocket.
Yeah, I like defensemen. What can I say? They punch people in the face, and sometimes they're good puck movers and they do things.
And they average 8 assists a season.
And they average 8 assists a season, yeah. No, I was excited for this game for the wrong reasons, because I was happy to to be able to hear about Mirko Mueller and what kind of life he's having post Sharks. I can't really fault the kid for his performance here in San Jose or there in San Jose, but you know, so I just try to stay positive about other Sharks and post Sharks and except for Patrick Marleau, but I digress. I'm glad that Jonas Donskoy got his first goal of the season because it's nice to see that it's not going to be stale and moldy bread from the people who we want to produce and we want to recreate those nasty moves that they had for us last season and the year before. And even though it was 0-for-5 on the power play, positive side is it was 5-for-5 on the penalty kill. So as long as they have one of those two things going for them, I think I'm more than satisfied with that for now. But it's still early in the season. Hashtag small sample size.
For now. Mirko Mueller continuing his teal ways, going -2 in this one. I'm already thinking that between Heed and Ryan, they'll probably double Mirko's output in teal. So I'll just leave that there.
So very interesting thing about Mirko Mueller, because I do agree there were
Something interesting about him?
There were some aspects of this game that he wants to forget, no doubt. But I thought in the first period, I thought Mirko Mueller actually looked pretty good in the role he was given. And funnily enough, where I noticed things start to decline in his game was right after he somehow got himself a breakaway on Martin Jones. And from there, it was all downhill for him.
Yeah. I think maybe it's a little bit of a mental hurdle for him as well.
I think, and we've seen this before, I think you get that first game against your former team. I think there's a pressure in your head, whether athletes will admit it or not, that you kind of want to show them what they're missing out on. And like I said, I think he started off really well. And then whether, you know, coincidence or he got into his own head or whatever you want to call it, you know, something just caused his game to just go off the cliff from that point.
Yeah, you keep your mental hurdle. I'll keep my Tomas hurdle. How's that?
Oh, that was good. That was really good, AJ. We're polos more often.
So after they get out of Jersey, they head over, well, just right next door. I mean, you can throw a penny. Boom. On the island in Brooklyn, the Sharks 5-3 loss to the Islanders. Aaron Dell gets the start and yet somehow no longer owns the Islanders like he did last season. His second straight loss against the Islanders. Meanwhile, Thomas Greiss gets his second straight win. This game, vastly different from last week. Again, Sharks led in almost all the stats, but the result is the same. However, Couture, hello, gets a hat trick. And for those of you not playing at home, the Sharks and Safeway are running a big promotion this season. And if a Shark gets a hat trick, someone gets, I believe it's $100,000.
Yep.
Wanda got $100,000.
Yeah. Wanda got $100,000. But if a Shark gets 4 goals in one game, unfortunately, that person, that lucky winner, gets $1,000,000. So, Couture, I mean, step up your game. You could have gotten a fourth one. But anyway, Sharks go 1-for-4 on the power play. The PK, again, killing it. Kills off both power, both the penalties that they gave up. And this wasn't too bad. Hansen finally gets on the board. Thank God. That was nice. Burns picks up a couple apples. But Rocket, tell me how this was different than, I mean, I'm tired of losing to the Islanders at this point. They're becoming like this year's Buffalo.
I know you're tired of losing to the Islanders. You know what it is? It's that when we play the Islanders in New York, I think the teams are distracted by the car. I think it's just that mascot and it's way too shiny. And you know,
damn Honda.
Yeah, and it's just brand new sitting there. I bet it has that new car smell. You know, you can really smell it on the ice. It's just
sparkly, glowy.
It's distracting. It's the car. The car is bad news. But I've heard that from several different sources, not just the Sharks. So huge if true. Let's see what else. I wouldn't say that. I mean, I know that the narrative is that the Sharks, quote unquote, wasted Logan Couture's hat trick. I don't think so. I think that there were spots in this game that looked a little panicked and disjointed, but I think that's a lot of because their coach is trying to create mismatches with the other team, so they're throwing out a bunch of lines that don't necessarily have chemistry. And I don't know how many times Pete can continue to roll the dice before he's never going to come up with a winning hand. You know, like it just, this continual promotion and demotion, it seems like it's not really helping very much. It might be helping other issues, but in the larger picture, I think that the management of this team is a little bit weird.
Well, and I found it to be very frustrating too, how, you know, through the first five games, Kevin LeBanc was the best player. And then he has one game where he's just good as everybody else, and all of a sudden he's on the fourth line.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of game is that, you know?
You know what the game is? The game is, I don't like playing kids, and I will find any reason possible to bench the youth. That's what game Pete's playing.
It's McClellan, it's like you're still here sometimes. Jared, your take?
My take, like Rocket said, you know, there were a couple times where the play appeared to just fall off a cliff and the Sharks generally looked like they were just there, not really contributing anything. But overall, especially in the early parts of the game, I thought it was relatively even. I mean, each team got two goals in a span of, what, maybe 10 minutes, maybe less. So I thought overall it was even for the most part. And I think even in the third period when the Islanders ended up taking the lead, I still think that the Sharks at least made a valiant effort to try and get things tied up, especially with Couture getting the hat trick.
Yeah, and as you said, the four goals scored in the first period were all scored within about 6.5 minutes of each other. So there was a lot going on. I think the Sharks will eventually get this Islander monkey off their back.
Well, it depends on the car.
It does.
That is true. And, you know, all things considered, I really hope that on that day of that game, I hope that Wanda was trending and watching and enjoying. I was really hoping that she was going to start trending on Twitter with so many people tweeting her name.
Well, let's be honest. If I won that, I'd be all up on. Well, I mean, if you guys are watching it and if you saw my name, you know, you'd be tweeting me up. It just makes me wonder, like, does this Wanda woman, does she have Twitter? Was she even watching the game? But, you know, like, when did she actually become aware that she had just, like, gotten some big cash?
So when is Teal Town USA going to do an interview with Wanda?
That's another, we have to cue that up on a very special technologist. Yeah, we got to get that going. After the Sharks escape the aisle, they head over to the mainland, Madison Square Garden, where actually historically the Sharks have not done that well, but this was a good one. Sharks pull a 4-1 win. Could have been 4-0. Should have been 4-0. Logan continues to heat up with the opening goal, and he grabs an assist. But I would be remiss if I did not point out that Logan Couture scored his first goal about six minutes into the second period against the Islanders. His first goal of his hat trick. Then in the game versus the Rangers, he scored within the first 2 minutes of that game. So he did score four goals within 60 minutes worth of regulation hockey. That is a technical rooster trick, my friend. I'm just pointing that out. My new favorite player,
the CEO of Safeway, is going to be knocking on your door very soon.
That's all I'm saying. With a free rooster. Here's your bird. Here's your bird. That's the new one this year. I want that on a mug. Here's your bird. Tim Heed, my new favorite defenseman. Oh, I'm digging this guy. He gets his first NHL goal, ends up being the game winner. Was this the first Swede-on-Swede NHL goal? I mean, like, the first time that a Swede got his first goal against a Swedish goalie? I thought I heard Randy Hahn mention that during the broadcast.
With how specific those parameters are,
right?
I'm I'm almost certain that it was.
And the fact that Sweden is just a complete hockey goalie factory, right? There's been, what, three? So anyway, Donskoy and Carlson trending up in this one. LeBanc gets demoted down to the fourth line. I think he got caught up in the moment, you know, being from Brooklyn and all. But LeBanc started up with the Joes, gets demoted, ends up on the fourth line by the third period. Carlson gets a look up with the Joes. Donskoy finishes the game. The funny one about this one, the Sharks made a parade to the penalty box, but they did go 6-for-6 on the PK. But come on, Rocket. I mean, that was just an insane – I mean, how often do you see where one team picks up 6 penalties, the other one picks up one, like, at the end, almost as like, oh, we forgot to call one on those guys?
I wish I could say that it was the refs trying to even things out, but unfortunately in this game, it was not. Maybe that's part of the strategy for the year on the Sharks is the referees are calling things a little bit differently this year. So instead of trying to fight harder to not get penalized, let's just really galvanize our PK and work forward from there. It gives you a little bit more of a stable base and less of a feeling of anxiety and panic when the situation happens, because like it's instead of just being like, oh, okay, now we're playing down a man. No big deal. We got this, to being, you know, oh God, we're down a man. Ah, panic, panic, panic. So I think that maybe the attitude will be a little bit more zen, relaxed, focused. This is a very long marathon of 82 games in the season. So, I mean, we still have a very long way to go. As long as they have the penalty kill down, I'm not that worried about it. Because, like I said, this is new rules, the little slashing on the hands and all that other good stuff. They will get it worked out eventually. So, at the beginning of the season, this is fine. This is as much as I can say is acceptable.
Yeah, they're learning what the refs are calling. You got to give it up to the PK, though. I think they're at 17 straight kills at this point.
Yeah, steak dinner for everyone.
Yeah, so I'm down with that. And the funny thing is that when a team takes 6 penalties, usually at the end of the game, you're hearing the coach saying, well, we just weren't able to get into a rhythm tonight because when you go to the box that often, blah, 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 and that's why we lost the game. But instead, the Sharks, I mean, skate out of this jerk with just like – looking probably one of their best games of the season.
So let me tell you a thing about the Rangers this year.
Oh boy.
Here we go.
They have made some changes to their team over the last 2 years, which some may say are lateral moves and theoretically should have the Rangers be as good as they have been, but there have also been some very questionable moves that they've made, and because of that, I'm not at all surprised that they are the worst team in the Eastern Conference. At least I believe they're the worst team in the Eastern Conference. And I think this game was good for the Sharks because how many times have we seen the Sharks, especially on the road, play against a bad team and lose? And I think this game, again, with the New Jersey Devils, kind of a different situation. One is leading the division, one's at the bottom of the division, but same kind of thing where when a team may be playing, you know, not as well as they should be or better than they should be, you want to make a statement against that team. And I think overall, even though they lost against the Islanders, I think this road trip as a whole was the statement for the Sharks, whether it was the actual score on the scoreboard, power play, penalty kill, what have you. I think there were a lot of good declarative statements made tonight, this road trip.
And, no, one of which I think was, maybe it'd be cool if we stopped playing down to the level of our competition.
Right, exactly. And I hope that this is a trend that continues where we can see a crappy team come on the schedule and kind of have the mindset of, well, easy win. I mean, don't get me wrong, every team in the NHL has something good going for them, but at the same time, it's a promising thought to have when you have enough confidence that you can beat a team before you even step onto the ice.
Yeah. And just to be clear, because, you know, hashtag facts matter, right now, as it stands that we're recording this, the Rangers, 2-6-2, good for 6 points. Montreal, 2-6-1 for 5
right.
points. But
I forgot that Montreal was bad and they should
be. Sharks are better.
But asterisk, got to clarify, Montreal's only played 9 games, Rangers have played 10. So it could very well go either way at that point. you know, Montreal wins their next game, boom, we're in, the Rangers are right back into the cellar. So there you have it. This is another one that kind of perturbed me because Hurdle has not been good in the circle for the most part of the season. I believe he had one good game that came against the Islanders where he was the Devils. The Devils came out of the circle at 74%. But for some reason, once he got to New York, he was snake bit. 29% in the circle versus the Islanders and a paltry 17% against the Rangers. And yet, I'm all for, you know, trying to get guys out of their funk, but you got to put them in a position to succeed. Why is Pete DeBoer putting Tomas Hertl in the circle in the defensive zone when he is just losing so damn much right now? Something to think about as we get into Shark Bites. Let's just focus on Hurdle for a second here. First off, you know, why would you, as a coach, keep putting in a guy, especially to take key faceoffs that are in the defensive zone when they're clearly struggling, Jerk?
Well, I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that over the past two seasons that Hurdle has been playing center on a consistent basis, he's been one of the best faceoff guys, especially last year when it was widely, you know, I guess announced that Logan Couture couldn't win a faceoff if his life depended on it. And time and time again, you know, Tomas Hertl was the Sharks' best faceoff guy. And I think maybe some of that is in the back of Pete's mind where he's like, oh yeah, we know Hertl can win the draw. But like you said, he's not cutting it in the circle this year, and I don't really know what to attribute that to, just because historically he has been good on faceoffs. I don't want to insinuate anything, but generally when you see really good faceoff guys not doing well at faceoffs, there might be some form of ailment.
I was waiting for Rocket to go, we're gonna need a bigger stick. So Rocket is at this point, is Hurdle, we know that Hurdle is on the second year of his two-year bridge deal. Mm-hmm. We've heard this franchise talk insanely long about, yes, Hurdle is our center of the future. He's going to be the center. He's the center, center, center. And he's already back at wing. Mm-hmm.
And again, like I said, when they had these plans for him, there was a completely different management core in place, and their coaching staff was entirely different. So the game plan has changed. They decided not to keep him. No, that's not true. It's like trying to put Barbie clothes on a gem doll. It just doesn't work. Like it does. I know it's a girl thing, and I apologize. Okay, so you guys remember the? No, you won't remember that either. Okay, so like if you can't put a Voltron in a Transformers world, they live in two separate universes. So if Tomas Hertl is like a Voltron, you can't insert him into Pete DeBoer's Transformers universe. And Pete has this huge Michael Bay vision of Transformers, and like all of his lines are always different and everything. And then here comes this little Voltron character, Tomas Hertl, who was really great in all the Voltron stuff. But in the Transformers stuff, he just sticks out like a sore thumb.
You heard it here first, kids. Hertl is a Hot Wheel in a Matchbox universe.
Yeah, or he's a Duplo in a Lego universe.
See, now there you go.
Okay. Yeah.
We've also seen some promotions and some line juggling a lot, Hockey Jerk. We saw Carlson get promoted to the second line. Donskoy and Bodker were demoted down to third and fourth for a game or two. We've seen Hansen get scratched. I'm a little surprised we haven't seen Bodker get scratched just yet. We see LeBanc go from being with the Joes all the way down to the fourth line versus the Rangers. I guess just based on history, I'm probably answering my own question, but how long do you think DeBoer continues with this line blender, or do you think it's just going to continue until somebody syncs up with the Joes?
It's hard because the last time DeBoer stopped using the line blender was the Stanley Cup year where we went, I say we as if all three of us were on the roster. When
we weren't?
From January all the way to June, mm-hmm. with the exact same lines every single night. And since then, every night has been different. And I legitimately do not know what the hell is happening, because, you know, there are nights like against New Jersey and nights like against the Rangers where everything is going according to plan and DeBoer is like, meh, not good enough. So I'm not really sure, you know, what is going on, but I like to think about it kind of in pieces, if you will. And a lot of people were upset, and rightfully so, that Donskoy was on the fourth line. However, I think Donskoy being on the fourth line, as weird as this is going to sound, was a compliment to him, because you put him with guys who, you know, Hansen, who's been struggling, and Carpenter, who is not struggling, but just not tearing it apart either. And you put Donskoy, who's a very underrated playmaker, a very underrated possession guy. And the hope is that you get that trio of guys to start making some magic when they're on the ice. And Bodker going down, I attribute the same thing. You know, you have Tierney on the third line. You have, I can't recall who else was on the third line. I believe Timo Meier, you know, two. I mean, they're not, you know, cement skated guys, but they're not the fastest guys either. And so you put Bodker down there to kind of get a nice mix of, you know, speed, physicality, and possession of the puck. And Carlson, I mean, the three of us have all said in the last, you know, year that we've been doing this podcast that we all like what we see from Melker Carlson. We think he's a very hard very underrated worker.
Yeah, the guy delivers.
And the guy delivers. And, you know, I think what Pete wants with him, and it's on record that Melker Carlson is DeBoer's favorite player. I think DeBoer wants Carlson to factor more into the offense. And guys like Carlson, you know, the same thing's being done with Hurdle, the same thing's being done with LeBanc, where I think you're moving them around just to kind of spark them a little bit and see who they work with. But I'm game with that. But at the same time, if you have something that works, like it appeared to in the Rangers game, please don't change it.
Unless you're trying to tank the team.
That is very true.
Ouch. And another thing that I also want to touch on too, just as we're discussing line blenders and whatnot, we just saw Meier and Hansen get sat to bring back Wardo and the season debut of your favorite perennial AHLer and mine, Goodrow, old Barkley.
I guess Pete's dog is all better.
Yeah, Barkley did not have that good of a game. He had one or two like okay plays. The rest of it, he was pretty insignificant. I'm wondering if this is just a case of he sat Meier and Hansen to make a, you know, to send a message, and it was kind of like, well, who can I fill this void with? Oh, really? Somebody gave Goodrow a ticket to this thing? Okay, you get out there, buddy.
Send a message, or was it maybe somebody was in Pete's ear going, you know, we're trying to trade this guy. Why don't you put him out there and let the scouts see what he can do?
You know what? That's not a bad call at all. So who knows? But anyway, my final thing for Shark Bites that I want to ask you about, we know that Paul Martin is lightly skating. I would imagine he's going to come off the IR once the guys are back from their road trip, maybe one or two, because the Sharks do come back to another nice – it started five games at home, leave for five games, come back and do another five games, and actually when they come back, they play where they have seven of their next eight, or no, I'm sorry, eight of their next nine are at home. So that's going to be one hell of a stand. But with that, Martin definitely coming back off IR during that point, Heed trending up, Ryan looking good with the Wookiee. So two things: is DeMello done? And if so, who stays up when Martin comes back, Ryan or Heed? And obviously, you're probably leaning Heed because he shoots right.
Right.
Okay. Isn't that what you want? Because Dylan's a lefty, isn't he?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. So just based on pairing. So basically, when Martin comes back, who's playing on the bottom pair? I mean, Martin comes back. Is Ryan going back down? Is Heed going back down? And is DeMello still on this team in a couple months?
Joakim Ryan will, unfortunately, I'm sorry to say, will be going back to the Barracuda because, yes, he's played good, and it's obviously very exciting. but he doesn't have to go through waivers, and he's still only, I believe he's only 23. I could be wrong about that, but he's still young, and you know, he can go down to the Barracuda. He can play on their top pair and log close to 30 minutes a night and seriously, seriously help out that team defensively, because those who have been watching the Barracuda this season know that defense is a major problem of the Barracuda. And I think Dylan DeMello, as much as it appears that he's been pushed out, I still think he has a spot only because it is early on and he still has the chance, I suppose, to prove himself and get in some games here, especially with Paul Martin coming back, you know. And I think it's just a matter of time. Somebody's going to have a couple off games, and, you know, here comes DeMello. DeMello. And, I mean, all else fails, can be excited for that fourth round pick in February.
Here we go again.
Hey, you know what? It doesn't, I don't even know if it's maybe somebody has a bad game or not so much as is like the injury bug, because last season and even the year before that, I think to a lesser extent, we were as a fan base kind of bolstered by the depth of the blue line. Oh, the blue line, our defense is great this year. Oh my gosh, blue line. And then somebody got hurt and somebody else got hurt, and all of a sudden it was, oh God, our defense is down. Oh God, oh God. So like, I know how quickly things can turn south with injuries, and how they seem to just happen at the wrong times. So if DeMello stays around, it will probably just be as a reserve in case somebody gets really hurt.
And I mean, he's used to being a reserve, so it's not like anything's new or different.
Oh.
No, he makes up a good point. You know, it's kind of, you know, going to do the same process and whatnot. I can't say how much I look forward to that fourth round pick. I got to be honest.
I'm excited.
And just to clear things up, just to, again, hashtag facts matter. Joakim Ryan turned 24 last June. So just want to be clear.
There you go.
Just want to be clear.
Still very young.
Yes, absolutely.
It's weird to me that his name is Joakim, but he was born in the United States.
It happens. So with that, we close the book on Shark Bites and move on to our three stars of the week, or what we call...
Oh, good for you!
We start our third star with Mr. Jerk.
Mr. Jerk's third star of this week is Jonas Donskoy for playing well enough to get bumped up in the lineup. And then when he does get bumped up, he continues to play well. He scored against New Jersey. Correct me if I'm wrong. New Jersey, yes. And then he also scored against the New York Rangers. So that's, you know, two goals on the road trip so far. And, you know, with Boston and Buffalo coming up, you want Donskoy to just continue the uptake in play that he's been having. And hopefully he can come back with some nice stats in his little portfolio.
Yeah. And yes, you were correct. Donkey picked up the first in Jersey, second against the Rangers. My second star of the week is going out to Mr. Brent Burns, who has started off the season atrociously. No, I don't want to say atrocious, but not the Burns I think we were all kind of expecting. I think at this point you would say, what are we now, 8 games into the season? I think all of us were kind of expecting it in 8 games. Yeah, $8 million man for 8 years is going to have a goal within 8 games, and still doesn't, but has picked up some assists, is starting to get under people's skin, and I'm liking it, Brent. So keep it up. I'm noticing he isn't getting as many shots from the point. So hopefully that means they're changing things up, obviously. But Burns, yeah, keep getting the assists. Work on your goal game, buddy. Rocket, your third.
My third star is Tim Hede, because I'm a big fan of that kid's slap shot off the blue line. That is money. It just needs to develop a little bit. I really enjoy his game, and I enjoy him being paired with good old Wookie. You know, they do good things out there.
Wait, oh, on the power play, you mean?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. They do good things out there.
If you ever watch South Park, I need to get a little sound bite from that. That's just going to be for Tim Hede for the rest. Every time Hede has a good game, we're just going to start off with that.
Timmy.
I just want to do that. So, second star. I'm starting off with Mr. Martin Jones. Again, a guy who did not start off the season real well. Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't he get yanked in one of the first three games? Was it against LA?
Yeah. Yep, he got pulled against the Kings.
Yeah, so that was then, this is now. And, you know, 3 of 4, picked up a shutout in Jersey, came real close to picking up a shutout in Manhattan. So, Jones, you are my second star, Rocket.
My second star is Brendan Dillon, because Brendan Dillon is the best defenseman on the team in my book.
For those of you who are listening on this on audio, I said second star, and just the biggest ear-to-ear smile when she knew that she's going to be saying the words, Brendan Dillon. Just saying. Hockey Jerk, your second.
So to join in on the communal fun here, my second star is also Martin Jones. Like we said, got yanked against the LA Kings, and I myself included was very annoyed. Just signed the extension and looked like he was making the same errors that he was making in the playoffs and down the stretch last season. And then after getting pulled against the Kings, he's like, no, man, screw this. I'm going to pick myself up 4 wins, have a goals against average of less than 2, and save 97% of the shots I face. Boom. How do you like me now?
That's right. Mic drop it here. So we move on to the number one, Rocket. Who's yours?
Hey, I got a question for you guys real fast. Who's the coach guy in charge of the power play and the penalty kill? Was it the same guy or different guys?
No. Well, it's as far as I know, it's Barr was brought in to be the eye in the sky this year, but Steve Spott, right, Jerk?
Yeah, Steve Spott does the power play. And then I could be wrong about this, but I believe that Bob Bugner did the penalty kill.
Wow, we're not missing him.
But yeah, exactly. So who took Boogie's place?
Rob Zettler, I believe.
Yes.
All right. So my first star this week is Rob Zettler.
Hey now. Good call.
Excellent. Excellent first star.
Yes. Hockey Jerk, top that for your number one. Remember, well, Logan did score a technical rooster.
I was going to say Logan Couture just for, you know, lighting up the score sheet and continuing to be the Sharks' best player, but I feel like everybody has heard me talk about Logan Couture too much. So my first star is Wanda for being lucky enough to win the 100K from Logan Couture's hat trick. And I hope that the California state tax didn't take too much of it.
Yay. Congrats, Wanda.
Oh, that would suck.
Yeah, if they took like 38% or something really ridiculous.
Something like that. It's like 27%.
Yes.
27 state and then 3% federal, some chunk like that.
See, now, I wanted to give my number one star to, of course, Logan Couture for getting the technical rooster. But a little something happened 24 hours ago that I feel I would be remiss if I did not point it out. So I'm just going to put it out there. My number one star for the week. That's right. Former Sharks alert. Long Beach native Matt Nieto gets a hat trick versus Kari Lehtinen in the Dallas Stars. So this is a throwback first star. But Matt Nieto, Long Beach native.
This is the win-in season.
Oh, what did I say earlier? Here's your beard. What was it?
Here's your bird.
Oh yeah, here's your bird.
Here's your beard.
Half the team of the Sharks this year. Here's your beard. So of course we move on, and let's start off with Jaromir Jagr on the IR. Does anyone care? It's not Dad because Dad never found a team. So I mean,
gosh, darn it.
Well, I would just like to point out that if all of the
if Jaromir Jagr hadn't signed with the Flames again, they probably would have.
Well, I was going to say if Jaromir Jagr, let's say he signed with the Sharks and then he gets on IR, man, everybody would have freaked the hell out.
This is true. Can't deny it. Your most hated former Sharks goalie and mine, Antti Niemi, goes on waivers. This is what I'm saying. Some of you might have been pro Niemi, but I was always anti Niemi.
Oh, God.
Jesus. All right. I'll see you guys next week.
You can't see it
because this is an audio only podcast, but I'm doing a princess wave right now. As in, bye.
Hey, you think maybe Las Vegas should sign Nemo? Good Lord, they know they're hemorrhaging goalies right now.
Oh no, somebody already signed him. They claimed him off of waivers. Florida.
The Florida Panthers yeah.
claimed Antti Niemi off of waivers because Roberto Luongo is still injured.
Oh, well, hold on. Don't they have Reimer?
Yeah, but they need a backup.
Yeah.
And Nemo was the best they could do? Okay. Anyway, moving on. Here's just a couple funny questions that just kind of stuck out to me. So I'll start with you, Rock. After 3 weeks of hockey, and, you know, I haven't had the opportunity or the desire, to be honest with you, to actually look this up, but I just noticed after 3 weeks of hockey, we have three teams with only one loss, which I thought was interesting. But what are you more surprised of, that we have three teams with only one loss now that we're 3 weeks in, or are you more surprised that those teams are LA, Tampa, and freaking Las Vegas?
Well, somebody told me that the NHL was smart in that the first couple of games that they scheduled against Vegas were quote unquote easy teams, so that it would bolster their chances of winning and stuff. But then
did someone say Desert Dogs?
Right. Yeah. But then, like, you know, they started playing other teams and it was kind of, whoa, okay. Well, okay. I'm not really surprised because it's a new team. It's a new system. None of the coaching staff of any of the other 30 clubs has really had an opportunity to study how these guys work together, what they should look out for, et cetera, et cetera. So there's still a lot of vulnerabilities that haven't been exposed and shut down yet against Vegas. So that doesn't surprise me. Los Angeles, I believe that they're still touting that they haven't lost in regulation yet.
They have a regulation loss.
Did they?
Yeah, okay. They lost in regulation last night on October 24th.
Oh, good for them. Because like that was like if that's all you're clinging to is that, oh, we've never lost in regulation. It's a little bit early to put that kind of a PR spin on it, which means that they're just hoping for the best, but they don't really have the depth necessary to make it happen. And after last year's abysmal performance by everybody on that team, I suppose that they're all a little bit, you know, doubly focused and ready to play some more, except for Jake Muzzin.
I know. Yeah, I hear that other stuff. I'm like, suck a puck.
Get out of here. So the only team that really surprises me a little bit is Tampa. But at the same time, they were Stanley Cup finalists a couple seasons ago, were they not?
Two years ago.
Well, and the funny thing is you got the two worst teams in the East, in New York and in Montreal. Didn't those two, like, play each other in the playoffs just 2 years ago?
They played each other in the playoffs last year and two years ago and 3 years ago.
Well, okay, now.
See? So, I mean, you know, what a difference a season can make. I also find it funny, too, that out of there being three teams with only one loss, and two of those teams are in the Pacific. So, you know, hey, East Coast, you know, come get some. and then to flip it, the top two teams in the Atlantic have more points than the top team in the Metro. And the same is happening in the West, where LA and Vegas have more points than the top team, St. Louis, in the West. Just, I don't know, something to chew on. I thought it was funny.
Can I make a quick hit here about those three teams who only have one loss?
Jump on in.
So Vegas, I'm surprised.
Real deal. Hashtag real deal.
Oh, yeah.
The real deal, James Neal. I thought Vegas, you know, I know a lot of us did mock drafts on, you know, Cap Friendly, shout out. And I thought Vegas would have a better team. They don't. And, you know, my Twitter timeline is filled with my grievances towards their management of the roster. But all things considered, they've been playing really well. So if they keep it up, well, then sorry, Sharks. Tampa Bay Lightning. I'm not surprised at all because Tampa Bay Lightning are a team that I have enjoyed for as long as I can remember. And they have, for the last couple of years, have had a pretty good roster. And last year, you know, injuries and a lot of guys not playing up to their potential, I think really hurt them. And so this year, as crazy as their record is, as crazy as their PDO and their shooting percentages, I still think the Tampa Bay Lightning are that good. And write it down here. I predict the Lightning will make it to at least round two, game seven. Ooh. So I think I'm that high in Lightning. And are you guys ready to get mad at me? LA Kings, I'm very surprised that they're playing well, but I will say the Kings games I've gotten to watch have been fun to watch.
Yeah.
Because they no longer have Dean Lombardi. They brought in...
or Daryl Sutter.
Or Daryl Sutter. They brought in Rob Blake, Sharks legend Rob Blake, who, you know, has started off...
Oh my God, Ace just made a mess.
Former Sharks captain Rob Blake.
You know, he's come in and he's, you know, he's extended Pearson and Toffoli to really good bargain contracts, took a, you know, gamble on Michael Camilleri and it's paid off, and was able to sneak Marian Gaborik on injured reserve. And you couple that with guys who have had down years in the past, most recently last year, you know, Anze Kopitar and Dustin Brown, you know, you have them coming back and turning things around. And like I said, I've only seen a couple of games, so it's possible that I'm missing out on all of the usual thugginess. But for the most part, like when I watch the LA Kings and see that team, see that coach, see that GM, and I think it's kind of cool. Speaking as somebody who, as Rocket knows probably more than anybody, I enjoy a well-constructed roster.
Indeed. Oh.
If I remember correctly, Kopitar signed a pretty damn fat deal a year and a half ago. And so last season was a pretty big downer for him. So I expected him to bounce back. But saying Rocket?
Didn't they lose Jeff Carter to injury this year?
They did. And that's what's pretty interesting, too, is that they lost Jeff Carter and they're still doing fine.
For now.
I mean.
Excellent point.
Dustin Brown, how do you turn Ish into Ish Salad? But anyway.
Let him retire and make him a color commentator.
Worked for Tony Romo.
Worked for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's Renick, true.
Mike Milbury.
Hey now.
Jody Shelley, anybody?
Oh my God. Okay, I can already feel it. It's time to get the hell out of here. So we got it coming up at Boston, at Buffalo, and the return of Patrick Marleau with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Now, if you listened to this show just a week ago, you knew if you listened to me and bet on what I said, you won, because I said win in New Jersey, loss on the island, and win at Madison Square Garden. The other people that do this show with me did not say those things. So no thumbs up, no gold stars for you this time.
What about a pat on the back?
I get all the pats, I get all the thumbs in all the right places, and I cover them with gold stars.
Oh my God.
So there you go.
What about toes?
No. Only toe sucking will have Rockin involved with that. So
on the floor.
On the floor. There you go. So
Hey now.
So Rocket, we'll start with you at Boston, who obviously the Sharks have not seen yet. This is going to be the first time. Right now, Boston not looking that great with a whopping 7 points, playing 500 hockey like the Sharks at 3-3-1. So at Boston, and then at Buffalo, who obviously the Sharks faced this year and beat by a score of 2-1, or I'm sorry, 3-2. I knew it was a one goal game. And then, of course, the return of Marleau at home. So what say you, my Nashvillian friend?
All right, so at Boston, okay, if they're playing 500 hockey the same way the Sharks are, there's a real good chance that this game could go either way. But the thing about Boston is they're a bunch of slunch and bruises, you know what I'm saying? Like, if they can deliver the heat and the power, maybe not the production, they might be able to run the Sharks over. I don't know. So I'm going to say that Sharks win in the shootout against Boston. Buffalo, we're going to win. Toronto, we're going to win.
All right. She's picking three W's, right? I love the optimism. The thing that does piss me off, we talk about Boston for 5 seconds. She's booming to the accent. We talked about New Jersey, New York for a half an hour. Not one New York accent.
New Jersey and New York accents are different, and I don't want to make anybody mad because I'm not very good at differentiating the two.
Okay. Jerk, what's your call on the next three?
So Boston is one of those teams like the Islanders, like the Buffalo Sabres, where we should probably beat them, but we struggle because for whatever reason. It's well documented. I think Boston is stupid, so I think they're going to beat us in the shootout. Let's see. Buffalo, we're probably going to win, and it's going to be a decisive score, just because, as I said, you know, the first show or whenever it was, that I think the curse of Buffalo is dead.
Yeah, and if you look at it right now, losing home record and a minus 10 goal differential right now.
And at the time of this recording, they're losing 4-0. So
there you go.
Oh, I like their goal and song too.
Against the Maple Leafs. Oh my God. Okay, I like Patrick Marleau, but I'm not in the mood for any warm and fuzzies. So I think the Sharks are going to lose. I'm sorry. The Sharks are going to win 5-2.
Yeah.
The Sharks are going to win 5-2, but Marlowe's going to have both goals, and then that's going to be the end of it.
Okay.
That's fair.
All right.
I have a question for you guys, though. Would you – I know that there's a side of me that has an answer either way, so I'll ask you guys. When they announce, and, you know, they will make a big deal about this being the first time Patrick Marleau has been in SAP Center – not in Sharks uniform, will he get a round of applause or a giant jeer of boos?
Oh, it will be a massive round of applause. And you know the Sharks are going to do something special for him on the video board.
Yeah.
We'll see. And this is what I think is – I mean, don't get me wrong. It gets butts in seats, and you can't argue with it that way. But, you know, it's I've seen it on advertisements, on TV, on the radio as, you know, Marlowe's return.
They're pimping
the hell out of this. I'm surprised that this wasn't the first game to sell out, to be honest with you.
Well, and
there's still tickets.
I want to show up just to boo.
And so get this. It's being hyped as Marlowe's return, and it's this big thing, and it's all emotional and whatever. But, you know, we all know, the three of us know from being at games, that when a former player comes back, they play them a clip. They stand up, wave,
dude,
hit the sticks on the boards, and they move on.
But, dude, I think it might be a little bit more than that. The dude spent 20 years here, you know, not two or three, 20 years. So I think you're going to see something. But
yeah, well, 20 years,
you,
no
I will bet you a. I will bet you one bottle of Ballast Point on that.
Okay, guy who doesn't drink. So my
he doesn't drink does not mean he does not know how to procure alcohol.
Well, that's true. So can we get on with my prediction since I'm the one who like got everything right last week? All right.
Here we go. Want a cookie?
No, that's right. No more Yankee my wanky. Here we go. So Boston overtime loss. Buffalo they will win, and Toronto they will lose. So I'm going 1-1-1 over the next three. I hate to say it. But although I'm sticking with my 1-1-1, but I would be quite happy if the Sharks beat Toronto 4-3 and Marleau got a hat trick in the game. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing that.
So if Marleau got a hat trick, would Wanda win another 100K?
No, oh my God. I would hope I do. That's what I'd be going for. So
but if she wins 100K, is it in Canadian money?
No, it's in rupees.
But Patrick Marleau doesn't play for an Indian team.
Nobody cares. Jerk, where can the people find you, and do you have a final thought, or are you just like ready to split?
My final thought is I feel like I've been kind of a dick today, but that's fine. That's why we're all here. You can follow me on Twitter at @hockey_jerk, where I my weird love for Mikhail Bodker, my grievances with the Vegas Golden Knights roster moves. And I like to antagonize AJ on the regular.
There we go. In fact, look for Hockey Jerk using his alter ego on Twitter called Creepy Bodker Fan. Rocket, your thoughts and where the people can find you.
So this has only been 8 games into the season. We still have, you know, a couple more to go, just a few. Hang in, kids. You know, it's not going to be a beautiful journey. It's going to be like driving through Bakersfield. That's... exactly. My name is Rocket Backhander. You can find me on Twitter, capital R, capital B, little @Kander76. I GIF a lot. I talk about hockey, and I get excited about weird stuff I see in Nashville that I think maybe people in San Jose might get a kick out of as well. I also take pictures on the Instagram, Rocket Backhander, one word. Fun stuff here in Nashville because I can't take pictures in San Jose anymore. They kicked me out. If you want to hit me up, give me a follow. That's cool. I'll talk to you.
And follow Rocket on her alter ego on Twitter, which is the GIF, bro. So anyway, And as always, I am AJ underscore strong on Twitter, on Instagram, and I didn't do the big spiel at the top of the show, so I gotta do it now. Subscribe to us on whatever podcast platform you're listening: SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, whichever one works for you. Follow us on Twitter at Pucknologists. Anything you want to talk about, want us to talk about, by all means, slide into our DMs, people. But other than that, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Give us a little thumbs up, a little comment on any of those platforms. We would certainly appreciate it. And we look forward to speaking with you next week for show number 30.
And you can follow AJ's alter ego at What's a Home and Home.
Oh my God, I dropped my microphone.
Ouch.